B-Pod Studios.
Celtics and Revs Audio, all in one convenient location on the podcast page at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app. Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
I absolutely despise Old England and everything about it. God, I hate that part of the country more than life itself.
Welcome to Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City for the AFC Championship between the 12-5 New England Patriots and the 13-4 Kansas City Chiefs.
You can take your cake and you can take your chowder.
Your lobster rolls are amazing.
You can take everything that you have, your arrogance, your pompous mountains and Maine.
Patriots staff told me early in the week Brady walked into the facility and said, and I quote, "I am the baddest mother on the planet."
Brady takes the snap. Back three steps. He pumps. He looks long.
You can take it all, and you can all shove it into the Atlantic Ocean.
He throws it down the left side for Dorsett.
Hey, Boston, kiss my ass twice.
And he makes the catch in the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
My God!
Get a scream!
Brady takes the snap. Gives to Michelle. Runs it right. First down and more on touch. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Oh, as they regain the lead.
It's the balls, man.
Short motion by Allen left with the release. Had to give to Michelle. Runs it left into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
And he takes 15 plays and he shove it right down their throat.
Well, wait until Sunday night at 9 o'clock when they lose the game to the Chiefs and all the chowder heads are melting down and they're wondering why, we're not going to another Super Bowl. The Chiefs beat us.
Brady takes the snap. Dropping back. Throws it right underneath. Off the hands of Gronkowski. Intercepted. There's a penalty marker on the other side of the field. There's Cleve Blakeman, the referee.
Oh, my.
Offside. Defense. Oh, wow. 55. Line in the neutral zone. The 5-yard penalty. We play third down.
Brady is going to turn and give it to Burkett. He runs it left behind Devlin. He blows his way to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. And they've regained the lead with 39 seconds on the clock in this AFC Championship.
I mean, what a run by Burkett to take the lead.
Kick by Butker. Headed to the uprights. The kick is good. And Butker.
Clutch.
Sends this game to overtime.
Heads.
Matthew Slater.
It is heads.
You want the ball.
In the pocket. Throws down the middle. Edelman open in midfield. Makes the catch. And then lunges forward across the 45. Ready. Firing down the middle. Caught by Edelman. On the run.
Go!
In the pocket. Throws down the middle. Grunt makes the catch at the 20. And he's tackled. Caught the shoelaces by Berry as he skids to the 15. First down for New England.
Second and goal to go from the 2. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
We're going back, baby! And there ain't nothing you can do about it! America's worst nightmare is back! We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags, start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
Kiss my ass twice.
What was your question?
Just what it means to go back to Super Bowl.
Unbelievable, bro. This is crazy. What a game.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985.
Real quick, I love hearing Zolak at the end of that. I forgot about that. What are you going to do about it? We're going back to the Super Bowl. I mean, he did a promo. We're America's worst nightmare. That is, I mean, we need to get Jay Stu on the phone and rate that promo. If you were in the ring, where that would rank amongst the greats.
Yeah, not close. Are you joking?
Who made the best promos there?
Maybe Steve Lombardi. I mean, he was just a jobber. I mean, come on. Don't embarrass yourself any further. Abdul, go ahead, sir. Abdul.
What's up?
What's going on?
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Of course. We just said hello.
Hey, I want to go online on Airway, and I want to challenge Tom Brady to a cage match for charity.
You want to go online on the Airway?
That's right.
On the Airway. I want to challenge Tom Brady to a cage match. I'm from Cranston, Rhode Island. I'm a nobody. If I beat him, he gets to donate $50,000 to whatever charity I want. I only weigh 155.
Okay, we can make this happen. So $50,000 goes to you now, because
no, it's a charity that I pick.
No, I understand that, because you're a philanthropist. You're not doing this on your own. So
yeah, I just want to bust his balls.
Yeah, all right,
okay,
like literally. And so
I want to challenge him to a cage match. Just, I'm a nobody from Cranston.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
155-pound guy who makes a living.
Yeah, don't say that. You're not a nobody. You're somebody. Now is there a reason for the cage match? Are you afraid that he'll try to skedaddle out of that ring?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to skedaddle out of the ring and throw helmets against the cages when he gets all like a baby.
All right. Would you allow chairs?
Yeah, I'll allow whatever he wants. I'll allow baseball bats if he wants.
Now, Abdul, why do you want to beat him up so badly, Tom Brady?
I don't want to beat him up. I just want to win and let him donate to a charity.
Now, like, rubbing around on him won't be the worst thing in the world.
No, I like to torture him, and especially his fans.
All right, and how would you torture him?
What?
Would you sit on his face?
No, I'm just going to bust his balls and win.
Okay. Wait, now, how would you bust his balls?
Don't worry. I'm going to tackle him, smash him up against the cage a little bit. I'm going to electrify him like The Rock.
Okay. Now, all right. So what will happen if you lose?
I'll be his bitch all the way to the Super Bowl. Yeah. He can fly me around. I'll pick up his underwear. I'll do whatever he wants.
Now, this sounds more like a fantasy, Abdul. This sounds more like
that.
He can do anything he wants. He can put his underwear on my head, let me sniff it, wear it as a mask.
Abdul, this sounds like you're going to throw this match.
No, I'm not going to throw the match. I just want to win.
Okay, if he wins, you guys have to have sex.
No, I just want to beat him up get away with it.
No. You have to have sex, and you have to let him pick where he wants to be.
Did you ever get anybody to call you and tell you they want to have a cage match with Tom Brady? Come on, tell the truth.
Usually, we don't put them on unless they're serious. How about you and I have a cage match? Win or lose, I make eat dog food.
I'll eat the dog food if I lose.
No, either way. How about I let you pin me right
back when you set it up?
How about you pin me, and then you give me a bunch of your wife's shoes?
No, I don't want. I'm all set. I just want to cage match him. That's all. If you can set it up, I'll show up.
Okay, I can probably set that up, but we could practice on me. Like, no, win or lose, I get to slap you around a little bit.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I just wanted to entertain you this morning and see if you can get me on the airway to tell people that.
Would this be the first cage match? Was this the first cage match you've been in?
It's going to be the first and the last.
When's the last time?
If I defeat him, he's going to donate.
He's going to donate. And if not...
And he's allowed to have helmets and throw it against the cage if he wants us. Or yell at his wide receivers.
Okay,
whatever he wants to do.
If he wins, you have to be a human outhouse.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's fine. I'll do whatever you want because I'm a guaranteed 100% win.
Okay.
I'm going to 1% is that.
Okay, but not only that, you have to be a human porta potty at a Patriots game.
That's fine.
Okay, because there's going to be a lot of people going to the bathroom on you.
Right next to Coach Belichick.
No. You have to be in the parking lot, and a lot of people are going to want to go to the bathroom on you.
you like the way that sounds.
That tickles the ears, don't it?
Hey, I'm not going to lose. I'm a guaranteed 100% win.
All right. How about if you win, you get to scurry around his dirty laundry?
No.
Okay.
If I win, he donates $50,000 to charity.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Abdul.
Have a good day.
All right. There you go, Abdul.
So he just said, I'm so proud to be a Rhode Islander right now.
All right. Well, listen. Can someone set it up?
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I got to tell you.
Well, listen. Who doesn't want to be a human outhouse?
I can just see the beginning of the fight. You're just falling to the ground. Oh!
Oh, no, oh, I've lost the fight. Oh, God.
I guess I got to be a human toilet. Wah, wah.
All right.
Hey, what do you want, a bidet? Yeah, look at me. I'm squirting water.
All right. We will be back with more of that kind of stuff.
Five, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
From the same cloth, they be turning coats. I'm hood good, head of Chi-Town of Sherman Oaks. Ain't nothing worse than true lies, but new lies. I'm too wise, they be acting like they shoe size. Stormy days make you pray.
98.5 to Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Czarface, new record out today. I suggest you get the vinyl, it's available at Newbury Comics. They put a lot of effort into the packaging.
Newbury Comics does them right, too. Like, I mean, whenever you go into one of their stores, like, they get front display. They do, I mean, obviously, they've built a relationship over the years.
Yeah, they a lot of animation, a lot of cool stuff. Like old Kiss records, in a way.
Yep.
If you have an unopened copy of Love Gun that has the actual gun in it, I would talk to you about purchasing that. I really would. Help Felger and Madison, 98.5 The Sports Hub, in the Christmas in the City. Christmas in the City gives Christmas gifts to thousands of Boston children that are currently homeless. And tomorrow, the guys will be at Newbury Comics, Natick Mall, for a meet and greet from 1 to 3. You can bid on the items now at the online auction at 98.5thesportshub.com. That ends today at 6. You can help Felger and Maz and Christmas in the City make a difference for thousands of children this holiday season. Rich played a clip from the Bruins game last night. And Pastrnak was, I believe, tripped. I know that some people said it was a 50-50 call, but...
No, I think what's being said and what actually Bruce Cassidy said is that... I think most people believe it was a trip, but he was saying that it gets called 50-50% chance. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't, and...
Well, in overtime, I mean, there's so much space on the ice. If you trip a guy...
I mean, it was so blatant.
You're going to score.
I know.
I mean, it's 3-on-3. Everything, and I like overtime. I like 3-on-3 overtime. I absolutely despise the shootout. 3-on-3 overtime, though, is just, here's why the shootout's stupid anyway, and then we'll get to something else. But the shootout is dumb because 3-on-3 is basically a shootout. I mean, 3-on-3, it's all breakaways.
Yeah.
And so if a guy as talented as Taves trips up Pastrnak, gets the puck, he's going to score.
Yep.
So, I mean, you by not calling that, essentially ending the game.
Well, they didn't, and you saw Chara afterwards going off and bitching at the ref, and even, you know, the very level-headed Bruce Cassidy afterwards was saying that, you know, maybe it's something that the league needs to take a look at. But it's all part of a theme that's been going on with this team ever since David Pastrnak became otherworldly, and that is he is going to start to get targeted more than he ever has before. You've seen it for the last several weeks, and last night, that was a big one, when he got rammed into the boards, and John Moore, of all people, had felt that he had to be the guy to stand up for him, and he got dropped immediately, and you saw him leave the ice. That's because this is his first game back from having a shoulder injury. He's been rehabbing that thing for the last 6 months. And so for him to have to be the one to step up, it does make you worry about whether or not this team has a plan for all of the different teams that are going to get overly physical and take liberties with David Pastrnak. Now, Pastrnak afterwards was asked about these teams ramping up their physicality against him, and he said what any hockey player is going to say. I don't care about that. It's to be expected, and I just, you know, cared about losing. That's the only reason why I'm upset. Okay, that's fine. But the reality is you've got a guy who is your golden goose right now, who is going to be the reason that you probably end up making it far in the playoffs. And you got to have some sort of person on the ice that causes fear and makes it so you don't feel that you can take those liberties with David Pastrnak, because they're ramping up. And at some point, it's going to catch up to him, and he's going to get a hit that's just going to be the one that knocks him out for a while, or just the amount of hits is going to affect his game. And right now, I don't know if they've got a plan. I know Zdeno Chara should be the guy, and I know after the John Moore fight, Zdeno Chara tried to follow it up and do something about it. But is that enough? Is that enough to protect David Pastrnak?
Well, first of all, that's why officials are there. People taking liberties with Pastrnak, who, by the way, is bigger now and can take a little bit of punishment. But in terms of on the ice, I mean, teams don't have enforcers anymore. I mean, you know, if you're a bigger player, if you're Coyle, I mean, you can step up and do that. But, I mean, how do you want to lose a guy for 5 minutes? It's I mean, now listen, if you told me 15 years ago, I would say, yeah, you know, you can have a guy on the ice whose main job is going to be at some point in the game to protect Pastrnak. But that's just not the way the NHL is right now. And if you're making runs at a guy, and I mean, and you're willing to take that, I mean, then let the Bruins take the power plays, because that's a very dumb way of playing hockey. If your goal in a game is to punish Pastrnak above all else, well, then you're going to lose that game because you're going to be shorthanded, and the Bruins on the power play are insane.
They weren't last night. I mean, obviously, it was a bad night for them.
Yeah, but they can score. Let's put it this way: I wouldn't want to be shorthanded against the Bruins a bunch of times during a game.
No, you're right. And I also, the one thing I do like about last night, I guess this is kind of a silver lining type of thing. They continue to have these slow starts, and you've seen that. It's funny. It's almost like the same thing with the Bruins and the Celtics right now. They'll go through these slow starts, but the one thing I like about this Bruins team, as well as the Celtics, is that there's not a doubt that they can pull something out of their butt, and they usually end up figuring it out by either the middle of the second period or last night it took until the third period. It just makes you nervous, and it makes you – and I know that Cassie's talked about this. He can't explain why the starts have been so slow, but at least they've got it in them that when they're down three goals, you've not completely written them off, and they have not given up, and they continue to fight like they did last night and ended up tying it up.
Well, they won that division already, so
I mean,
they're going to be able to rest, guys. Richie, go ahead.
Fred, you are so right about that trip last night. I mean, it was a foot-on-foot trip. If you look at it, it's clearly a foot-on-foot trip. Larry Peterson and Billy Jaffe after the game are like, well, I don't think it was really a trip. It was up high. I'm not sure what game they were watching. But bottom line is the NHL has to start using youth league referees to officiate their games because they're missing everything.
Yeah, officiating in all sports is terrible right now. On a 3-on-3 overtime, You're conceding the game with that. Not calling that is conceding the game. Taves is a otherworldly player, and he's going to make that shot. So, I mean, by not calling that, that cost the Bruins the game. That cost the Bruins the point.
Well, you're right. On 3-on-3, the thing that decides it is you're just waiting for a team to turn it over. Because once you turn it over, that's when you obviously get that odd man rush, and then and it's over. I mean, if you have anyone worth his salt, you're pretty much going to score.
Right.
So
that's why I love the 3-on-3. That's why the shootout is so redundant.
And also, it's also the Bruins not very good in the shootout.
I don't care if the Bruins were the best team in the shootout ever. It's not exciting.
No, it's not.
No, 3-on-3 overtime. And so you don't go, oh, Fred, you're a traditionalist. But I just, 3-on-3 for 5 minutes is fun. And if it ties, it ties. What are you going to do? All right, Rich, what do we have coming up in the old stackaroo?
Oh, LeBron James. He snaps back at those announcers who thought he was being disrespectful by going out onto the court with those shoes on and jumping around. On top of that, we have some news about a sequel coming to one of the biggest films of all time.
All right, here are the headlines.
95, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what's going on?
First of all, I just have to mention something, and it just occurred to me. Let me see if I can find it. Because I sent this to a friend of mine a minute ago. My friends are obsessed with the press conference that happened between Motley Crue, Poison, and Def Leppard.
Rightly so.
Absolutely obsessed because they, you remember how we were saying the bases of the Goo Goo Dolls is always the ugly one and they would hide him behind the good looking one?
Yeah, like the Wilson and Hart that was the heavier one where they would put her, immerse her in water.
Yes, that's right. Vince Neil is the lead singer of the headlining band and they have hid him way in the back. We're talking fourth row of chairs on their television interview to where you can barely even see the guy. But that's, to me, not the funniest part. The best part is that Bret Michaels of Poison is wearing a t-shirt of Bret Michaels without his shirt on.
Look at how ripped he is.
Well, I mean, at least the picture of him on his shirt.
I'll tell you this, is that the best moment, Rock of Love Season 2 sucks. because the girls knew what they were getting into. Rock of Love was a show where they had women vying for the love of Bret Michaels, and they would have to do tests. He had his roadie that was there. And there is a episode where you got to know how to, if you want to date Bret, you got to handle the road.
Of course.
So they're at some hotel, and the girl's very concerned, and she has to find Bret. And Bret's in the hotel gym just doing lat pull downs. And he's like, "What's up, Bonnie?" I'm just, and he's like, "Just doing lat pull downs. I'm working out.
Just crushing weights." But I still have yet to listen to the entire press conference. I bet it's fantastic. We maybe need to examine that next week.
Yeah, well, Bret Michaels, you know, he's in the business of Bret Michaels. Bret Michaels hates that he still has to do Poison.
I mean, listen, he can play the, you know, the casinos that aren't in Vegas, the ones that are way out in the middle of, like, you know, reservations and things like that. It's where he's made, like, his hay. It's where he's made his money. I saw him, like, less than 5 months ago, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. You said that he put on a good show.
He's the dude stayed in shape. What is that? So, like, what are you doing? Oh, it's like a little button that makes noise. So, of course, you touched it. last night, Zolak would like this. On Jeopardy, there was a category called Patriot Games. What's
Bret
that?
Michaels and Poison. Love Bret Michaels and Poison.
You're going to go. Okay. Now, this is a show I do believe you would go to.
I would. Yeah. Yeah. Be like you. Like, it was like what we did with the, what was that? Def Leppard?
Def Leppard and REO Speedwagon.
Yeah.
Which was, okay. It's going to be a blast. I have a feeling like half the station is going to go to that show.
No, yeah. I'm going to that show for sure.
Because it's going to be, the music's going to be legitimately good because I like those bands. But the comedy show when Motley Crue comes on, it's going to be the highlight of the year.
Scott, have you heard Vince Neil sing? Did you hear when we were playing that?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's going to be the greatest thing ever. He's obese.
He can't sing. They need to run like that.
I mean, that's just awesome.
There is a single word in there I could identify. Still,
there is a chance we might have front row tickets to give away for that show.
We thought that it would be a great contest where you would be in the front row if you had to go with Rock and Roll Mike. If you would agree to go with Rock and Roll Mike and be in the front row,
yeah,
they would be your tickets. So. Fat, fat, chubby cat.
It's me, Ronald.
All right, so here is from last night's Jeopardy show, the category Patriot Games. Zolak, let's see how many of these you'd be able to get. You have it right there.
All right, here we go. Scott Zolak is getting his headphones on. We will wait as that occurs.
In the meanwhile, we're going to listen to some Motley Crue. Yes, we are ready, Vince Neil.
Yes, we are. We came to rock. They have no shame. They must have made so much money off that last tour, and they don't care.
All right. He's all right, plugged here in and ready to go.
I mean, he was a slob when you guys opened for him.
Yep, yes, he was.
And that was years ago.
Yep, that was 2003.
Yeah, that a lot of times past then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
Patriot Games 400.
This head coach has led the New England Patriots to victory in 6 Super Bowls.
Who is it?
I was
Marshall Hook, yes.
Yes.
Who is Bill Belichick?
Let's hear if you are correct.
Jennifer.
Who is Belichick?
Bill Belichick is right.
Patriot 800.
On October 11th, 1963, the Red Sox weren't playing. It was the Patriots' first game of 6 seasons in this home field.
Marshall Hook.
Where is Fenway Park?
Ooh, they gave you a little hint in there?
Yeah.
Kelly.
What is Wrigley Field?
Nope.
Okay.
Chris?
What is Comiskey Park?
No.
Big
I don't know why
fans.
You guys were in Chicago instead of Boston. Fenway Park.
There you go. Condescending Trebek. I love it.
I didn't know that. I would have said Schaefer Field. I didn't know that.
Well, yeah. I mean, they said the Red Sox weren't there.
Yeah, but I don't pick up these things.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't pick it up doesn't mean I'm dumb.
Patriot for 1,200.
In his NFL debut in the year 2000, this Pats quarterback completed 1 of 3 passes in a 34-9 loss to Detroit.
Yes, Marshall.
Who is Tom Brady?
He got better.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So is Tom Brady?
He's the one.
That was actually Thanksgiving Day. I think they wore the red uniforms that day.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what uniform I wore.
What'd you wear?
The old one. No, I actually wore the old one, red one.
Yeah.
Patriot 16.
On a cold 1982 day, Mark Henderson used a small John Deere to make the kicker's job easier in what became known as the This Machine Game.
Snowplow game.
Hey, you didn't ring in.
I don't ring in.
Marshall looks over there with his pen.
I've got my...
Marshall has pretty much
trying.
Yeah.
He wants to Twitch people who watch on Twitch to see what's going
Where's
on.
Where's your ha-ha button you were using there, Zolak? Did it disappear?
I rang in.
Chris. What is lawnmower?
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
Jesus.
My God.
I'm smarter than that.
These people are not good.
No. They're just stay quiet. Don't lose the money.
What is the
Chris,
snowplow
what is lawnmower?
Game?
No.
Well, everyone knows that.
Yeah. Jennifer.
What is snowblower?
No. You're closer, though. What is snow plow?
No.
Snow plow. Big snowstorm. Mm-hmm. Last clue. The Patriots' win in the 2019 AFC title game came one day shy of 25 years since this man bought the team.
Who?
Who is Bob Kraft?
No.
Mm-mm.
That is not it.
Oh. Well, there you go. See, I didn't
Who
run the board.
Who is Vince Neil?
And his name is Robert Kraft.
Oh. I mean, how do you not know that, especially with the current news?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes people aren't down with the Air Force Ones.
Vince Neil, what do you say about that?
Antonio Brown, what do you say about that? They weren't very good.
I'm getting better. I'm getting better.
Thank you very much.
That's him saying you're welcome. So LeBron James the other day got called out for standing in the middle of a game. Actually, it was near the end of a game, but he had no shoes on and at one point ran out onto the court during play. And when I say onto the court, he went baseline and then came in a couple feet, maybe about halfway from the bench and the actual basket. I mean, he was on the way onto the court. And here's how the play-by-play guy saw it in Utah.
The game with Memphis. Inside Tony, blocked by Kuzma. Got it back. Big fella turns in a crowd. Continues to fight. Blocked again.
Look at LeBron. He's on the court.
With no shoes, mind you.
What is going on here?
That's some disrespect right there. Please.
Okay, so LeBron James retweeted that video and put it on Instagram. And put this, he goes, imagine doing your job at the highest level to where you're not needed anymore, giving your shoes to a little girl and boy who you inspire and hope you made proud that night, then cheering on your teammates because you love seeing them succeed more than yourself, only to be criticized while doing it.
See, I was on his side and then he did that.
People, it's the world we live in and you can't let it ever stop you from your purpose in life.
I was on his side.
Mm-hmm.
He said he gave the shoes to some kids.
And then he said, I'm a saint. I'm a saint.
And then he turned around and had to comment on it.
Negativity, bad energy, hate, envy, etc. will try to bring you down throughout your journey. And it's up to you on how you handle
it. Okay, that's not inspirational to anyone. Just why do you care? Why do you care what the announcers in Utah say about you?
How about...
You're LeBron effing James. You got a movie that's going to come out and make $5 billion. What the hell's wrong with you? Stop.
How about they were right? As far as the shoes thing, I don't care about the shoes. You're not allowed to run onto the court during a game. You can't do that. People get fined for that.
I don't know what. Well, he can pick up the ball and run around. I mean, the rules don't apply to LeBron. I just don't understand why they feel the need to, like, find the audio of the guys from Utah. Just leave it alone.
Can we count the amount of brags that he has in just that opening statement? Okay, so here we go. Imagine doing your job at the highest level. It's where you're not needed anymore. That's right. Giving your shoes to a little boy or girl who you inspire and hoped you made proud that night.
That's two in there. That's both giving the shoes and you inspired them.
That's right. And you inspired them. Then cheering on your teammates because you love seeing them succeed more than yourself. I mean,
those kids better be on eBay with those shoes. Inspired. Everyone's so inspired. You know what? I want to be a professional basketball player. Oh, that's right. I'm not 6'8 and cut from like marble and can jump out of the gym. I like how these athletes, like, they're so inspiring. LeBron James, like, no one is like you. Like, you can't just take a kid and go, hey, you're LeBron James now. Like,
It's so fun. You watch U Sports. It's like, what are these kids going to do?
Well, he ends it with, in capital letters, live, period. Laugh, period.
Oh. Oh,
love, period.
You're not, you could, the 99.9% of people could do everything in the world to try to play professional basketball and never get to do it. It's completely genetic, inspiring people to do what? To be an athlete and, you know, not screw it up?
Praying hands emoji. Heart emoji.
Yeah, you should pray. You should pray every day that you had the genetics to get you like that.
King emoji. Because he's King James.
Ugh.
Ugh. Dion, what do you think about that? Scooping up the winner with the biggest butts. Thank you, Dion Sanders.
The way his rap I'm telling you, I like the way he flows. All right, we'll be back. We'll find out what Scott Zolak has. Because he will leave the room during the break and not come back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey.
Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Thatcher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Scott Zolak is back. And getting ready for the big call.
Hey!
Getting ready for the big call on Sunday.
Yeah. It's going to be a big one.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this could be a, I don't say organizational altering type game, but yeah, for a lot of reasons.
It's just going to say a lot about the Patriots. And you know what? I didn't realize this, but if they lose to the Chiefs, they would essentially be losing to, didn't he say, like, all of the divisional heads? Like, the yeah. Ravens?
Yes.
And then, yeah, I mean, so this is a big deal.
Well, I mean, yeah, because you just lost to Houston. It's amazing, you know, how much one win or one loss can affect your opinion about a team in each week. Like, San Francisco goes from the one seed to the five in a matter of 24 hours.
Sure.
A week ago, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a big one. You got them at home.
Yeah, they don't lose at home.
No excuse at home.
Don't yeah. lose at home.
Yeah.
What was the thing you said, Marshall, about when they have Edelman and Brady, they're
like, what's a hamburger?
That they're like 40-0 or something at home.
I said nothing about that at any point ever, but that sounds like a good statistic.
Edelman and Brady at home have never, in a regular season game, have never lost.
Okay.
In a regular season game.
I think so. I think it's like 40.
Or it's like against the AFC or something.
No. It's they've never lost if they're both healthy and playing at home.
Because people look at it and like, well, there's one year Kansas City. Yeah, but he blew out his knee. Edelman did. And yep. that preseason ended up winning that year. But
all right. So.
No, they didn't. Yeah. No, they did. Yeah. I can't remember.
All right. Well, listen.
That comes as a galloping shock, hurts. I got to yeah. tell you.
All right. What are you going to go see? We were talking about the big Motley Crue show.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, see, Rich and I are vying to get very good tickets.
I'd go Rock and Roll Mike.
I'd go with Rock and Roll Mike in 10 seconds.
I'd go Rock and Roll Mike just down the street.
See, the only thing about that show is a because I would think we should just get like a big box or something for that. Like,
I don't want a box.
But I was about to say, Fenway's the one place where a box wouldn't really work.
It's that morning show money. Because yeah. Let's get
yeah, we make a lot of money. So be it. No, I'm just kidding. So
eat it.
No, you have to be close yes. to Motley Crue. To be close.
I hate going to a concert in a box. It's the worst thing.
No, it's not.
Yeah, me and Beetle, we went eating. That's the first time I met our. Never mind. Yeah, heads. Yeah, what? Yeah, we did.
I don't know.
Yeah, we went up in a box to eat. And like, how do you watch a concert from up here?
I saved your life that night.
I've only seen
it. He saved my life that night.
Just fine.
I left after I saw Van Halen in a box. I left halfway through the first song. No, but this is something that the comedy needs to be seen up front.
Like, I'm thinking, Fred, like, within the first 10 rows.
It has in front and center.
This is one of the few shows that it's for comedy reasons only. I've got to get a great seat.
I would pay more to see Motley Crue up close on this tour than I would for a Stanley Cup Finals ticket.
Ooh.
Wow.
I don't know about that.
Rich, it's going to be outstanding.
Although I haven't
and Bird said that they can't do that much pyro in Fenway.
Oh, really?
Like, there's restrictions on the pyro.
So he's not going to have anything to cover it up?
No, so it's just going to be straight,
straight just
Vince
like
Neil
failure.
And Tommy Lee keeling over. We was out this pan, all we
needed was a leg. Yeah, she could. It sounds good. Like, his voice sounds good.
What?
Oh, his. But, like, he can't speak. It's,
no, he sounds awful.
Man,
I don't disagree with that.
All right. Well, you got very peculiar taste.
Well, if you like hearing every third word of a song, then...
No, I don't like that.
But, yeah, I would...
You sing it!
That's a show that's a show that I would like to see more than anything else next year. I'd skip Joan Jett, see Poison, watch a little Def Leppard, then get in my seat right during changeover. All right, you guys enjoy yourselves.
Yep, Phil Perry will be in. Yeah, love football.
Ooh, look out, television. You got a little honk.
Sexy.
A little honk. All right, that'll do it for us. Have a good weekend.
You look good, Hook.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.